Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Thursday, and it's a gigantic Thursday. I'm so happy to be here. We are going to have a long, long talk. I don't know how long it's going to take me in the beginning about where we are as a people, as a country, and more specifically, how and why we're here as a country. Why are we here? Not just pointing out problems. How do we get here? How do we get out of it? The DNC is, it's got something on my heart. I want to have a long talk tonight. So we'll do that. There's a bunch of course, crazy things coming out of the DNC right now. We'll play a bunch of that. Tim Walz still being the military mascot. These people are nutballs. Their war on the truth. I'm very impressed with a couple things Trump is doing. Apparently, Trump's assassin really did have encrypted accounts overseas. Kind of nerve-wracking. And poor people aren't getting together anymore. They're more isolated than rich people. What's going on there? All that, so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I'm just going to give you, I don't plan out shows on my life. 1 minute ago, I walked in to sit down here in the chair and I told Chris, I'm not sure what I want to talk about. That's just how we do it here. And it's not that I don't have things on my mind and not that you don't have things on your mind. I think they're better when they're raw, right? When it's just what's on your mind, what's on your heart. Everyone does things differently, and I'm not indicting how anyone else does anything. I've always thought it was better just what's on your mind, what's on your heart. So allow me to walk you through my day here. Before I do that, pause real quick. Tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. That means you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything all 3 hours. Back to what we're talking about. I'm going to walk you through my day and why we're going to have this talk. So last night, Senator Chris Murphy, world-class piece of crap, said a bunch of stupid things at the DNC. But this is one of the things he said.
For 20 years, Kamala Harris has been tough as nails when it comes to securing our border.
I'm sorry, what did he say?
For 20 years, Kamala Harris has been tough as nails when it comes to securing our border.
Okay. I saw that. I saw this. This is a former Capitol Police officer, Aquilino Gonel. You may not understand that the way I do, but he had this to say.
I need to acknowledge the sacrifices of five officers who died as a result of January 6th, May, on that day.
Okay. I saw Tim Walz. We'll talk about him more later. He said this.
We also protected reproductive freedom because in Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make.
Okay. I saw this to wrap up the little sound bites here. I saw this from Oprah.
From the redwood forests, love those redwoods, to the Gulf Stream waters, I've seen racism and sexism and income inequality and division. I've not only seen it, At times, I've been on the receiving end of it.
Okay. And I got angry this morning. I'm just walking you through how I went. When I heard this.
For 20 years, Kamala Harris has been tough as nails when it comes to securing our border.
My blood pressure went through the roof. That's a lie. How could he tell such a black and white blatant lie? This woman has done everything she can to open up the... All the things you're saying right now, I was saying them this morning. That's a friggin' lie. Okay? When Walls was talking about this...
We also protected reproductive freedom because in Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make.
I thought back to Minnesota having a hotline where thousands and thousands of people called in to tattletale on their neighbor during COVID. Certainly didn't sound respectful. How could he lie? That's a black and white lie. Why is he lying? This police officer, this
I need to acknowledge the sacrifices that five officers who died as a result of January 6th.
Five officers who died as a result of January 6th. Not a single officer died as a result of January 6th. Not a single police officer died that day. There were suicides, strokes, things like that after the fact. Nobody died that day. Nobody died as a result of that day. That's a black and white lie, blatant lie. Oprah may, honestly, this might be the pinnacle of lies. This woman has made a career off of pretending like she's somehow a victim. She's worth $3 billion.
From the Redwood Forest, love those redwoods, to the Gulf Stream waters, I've seen racism and sexism and income inequality and division. I've not only seen it, at times I've been on the receiving end of it.
No, you haven't, you lying commie hag. You have lived a life that ancient kings could only dream of, you vile, freaking, ungrateful monster. You luxuriate on private jets and mega yachts and five-star hotels because you embrace the capitalism of the United States of America, and it has made you so wealthy, your grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren will never want for anything. And so, see, I was getting my blood pressure up. I'm getting it up again right now. But then, throughout the day, I shifted my anger a bit. I shifted it to us. Not you, not even me individually. Us as a people, as a whole. The American people as a whole. Because I was sitting there in my rage, and I'm thinking, how can you get away? Look, Chris Murphy's a United States Senator. He has to get elected. How can you get away with saying such black and white lies?
For 20 years, Kamala Harris has been tough as nails when it comes to securing our border.
And the truth is you can get away with that because the American people as a whole, not you, the American people allow you to get away with that. The American citizen who goes out and votes for Chris Murphy once every 6 years. He is either a communist who wants to be lied to because he believes lies will further the revolution, or he's so stupid, he's so naive, he's so dumbed down that he doesn't really know how blatant the lies are. How brazen the lies are right in your face. Look up at the sky. It's green, isn't it? And my anger shifted from these scumbags to the American citizen. But then there was one final shift, and now you're catching me in phase three of the day, and that's the shift we're going to talk about. Yes, these people are lying scumbags, and it's awful. Yes, the American citizen, the American people as a whole, again, as a whole, are dumbed down, demoralized, don't know what's going on, or that's at best. At worst, they're card-carrying communists who also want to destroy the country the same way Democrats do. But I've been thinking about something recently. I was actually praying about it the other night, about having more grace than I've had in the past. More mercy for the moron. More what, Chris? I'm having a moment here. What are you laughing about? More mercy for really, really, really dumb people. You see, Fred's a good example of this. Part of the reason we love Fred so much, probably more than I've ever loved a dog in my life. He honestly is. We just love him, and everyone does. Everyone. My sister will text me from Montana. How's Fred? Is he okay? Why? He's an idiot. A total, complete moron. And he's emotionally needy. And so it shouldn't result in unending scorn for Fred because he's a moron, because he practically tripped over a rabbit this morning when he was out there supposedly hunting rabbits. It's not that. You should have more mercy for people who are special needs, like Democrat voters. What, Chris? I'm being nice. So let's, instead of pouring anger on the Chris Murphys and Oprahs of the world, instead of pouring anger on American citizens who don't know right from left, up from down, why don't we instead have a little talk, long talk? I don't know. I haven't planned this out. How did we get here? How did we get to a place as a country where you can tell people Kamala's been tough on the border and you don't have an ounce of fear about re-election? Let's talk about how we got here. Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. In case you're just now joining us, we are having a long conversation about the big lies Democrats tell the people who believe those lies. And more specifically, we're going to have a discussion about how we got so shattered as a people and what we can do to start to turn it around. And courtesy of the DNC convention, I'm going to play one more soundbite before we go into it. It's not politicians. It's not Oprah. It's not some lying cop. This is a woman. She spoke. This is not only her speaking on camera. She's on the loudspeaker at the Democrat convention. How shattered are some people in this country, spiritually, mentally, emotionally? Listen to this.
I'm Kate Cox, and I love being a mom. I have two beautiful children, and my husband and I have always wanted a third. But when I got pregnant, doctors told us our baby would never survive. And if I didn't get an abortion, it would put a future pregnancy at risk. But Trump didn't care. And because of his abortion bans, I had to flee my home. There's nothing pro-family about abortion bans. There's nothing pro-life letting women suffer.
Abortion. Historically, no matter how you feel about it, it's always been something that's kind of done in the shadows, quietly, as all terrible, shameful things are. Do you broadcast the terrible things about you? I don't. Actually, yes, I do. But still, you understand. This is something that should be shameful. Shouldn't happen, but it does. When it does, it should be shameful. That woman is so shattered spiritually, mentally, emotionally. She brags about aborting her baby on camera, and she does it to the cheers of other people. You can't find another creature of any kind on the planet that would do something that evil. And I know there are creatures like sharks, a great white shark. A mother will actually eat her baby. Baby stays around for too long. You will. So I know there are creatures, there are mothers out there in the animal world who will kill their babies. That's a thing. But these people, they will brag about it. They will groom them. They'll have a baby just to groom him so he'll chop his penis off and then brag about it. How are we here? Well, this is a long, long answer. But let's talk about how we got here. First, let's deal with the outside forces that got us here. Maybe this will make you feel better. Maybe it'll make you feel worse. But if you've been educated at any level in America's government education system, or if you're one of the kids who listen and you're being educated right now, you've probably heard references to McCarthyism or Joe McCarthy. Who was he? He was a senator back in the day who was screaming and yelling that the Soviets, the Soviet communists, had infiltrated things like journalism, Hollywood, the university system, and they were implementing communism everywhere they possibly could. And to this day, he is spoken of in these just horrible ways. Oh, McCarthyism, neo-McCarthyism. Okay, Joe McCarthy. People just have it baked into their heads that this guy was evil. And I'm not here to sing the praises of Joe McCarthy. I don't know much about his personal life, what kind of guy he was. I don't care about that. But what he was saying was 100% true. We're dealing with the external things now. The Soviet Union and the United States of America were at war with each other even before the Cold War. Did you know that? Did you know that even before World War II, after the communists had taken over Russia, prior to World War II, the Soviet Union knew that America's freedom, America's free market system, represented a threat to everything they wanted in life? They wanted centralized government control of every single thing. And here you had this huge, wealthy, prosperous country across the ocean that people around the world would kill to get into. And it made you look bad. When you're trying to sell people on the beauty of communism and we'll just eliminate wealth, and when you're trying to sell people on the idea of communism, and there's a country that represents the polar opposite of communism thriving, you feel bad. And you know that's your enemy. The Soviet Union knew, honestly, before America knew, we're enemies. The United States of America and their prosperity, they represented an existential, I hate that word, an existential threat to communism. It just means real. It's just the word college boys use. But it's a real threat to communism to have America there. So what did they do about that? And this is going to take me a little while. So just buckle up for the night. It's going to come back to the lies they tell us today. It's going to come back to that demon bragging about murdering her baby. It's going to come back to all these things. What did the Soviet Union do about it? Well, again, communists have a different mindset now. And then they have an offensive mindset, not defensive. Not live and let live. You don't sit back and want things to happen. You don't wish for things to happen. Because these are godless savages, you know that everything's up to you and you have to go make something happen. And so we will discuss that next. Before we discuss that, we're going to discuss your pain. Not the mental and emotional pain you feel when you hear Dome laugh. We're going to discuss the pain you feel, physical pain, every day. Every day, aches and pains. How's your shoulder? Does it bother you? I ask because I have a shoulder that bugs me. In fact, both of them kind of bug me from time to time. I have to be proactive about it, make sure I'm strengthening the joints. I know what pain is. Daily back pain. I grew up with it. I know what it is. I know how it holds you back from your life. From doing things you want to do, from really, really embracing people you love the way you want to. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It is going to support your body's natural response to pain. You take it every day for 3 weeks. Let it build up in your system. Tell me how that pain is, that back pain, that foot pain, that whatever you go through. Go to relieffactor.com and buy 3 weeks worth. Or you can call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All 3 hours, I answer whatever questions you email in. They're already piling up. Get your questions sent in. It doesn't even have to be political. Whatever it is. History, food, women, employment, men. I don't give a crap. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. All right, so if you're just joining us, I'm not going to recap everything. We're discussing Democrat lies, why they tell brazen lies, why the American people accept it, how did we get here? And we rewound a little bit. We talked first about the Soviet infiltration into this country. This isn't McCarthyism. It's the reality. It's all documented. And anyone who read the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available at jessekellybook.com, is well aware of these things. The Soviet Union, they wanted to bring communism here. They ran into a huge problem, though. The Soviet Union was very rigid in its thinking. Rigid in this way. You see, in this, before the communists took over the Soviet Union, it was a really messed up system. It was run by the czars, kings. Everyone puts a different word on it. A dictator, it's a king. Okay, so he was a king. It was a family that had run Russia for 300 years, and it ended up getting stale in the urban worker, urban factories. You work in a... Chris, he works at a textile factory in Moscow in 1910. It would not be uncommon for Chris to work 14-hour days, 16-hour days, and at the end of the day, not have enough money to feed his wife and child when he got home. The work conditions for the urban worker were horrible. And so when the communists were forming their revolution in the Soviet Union, they went to the malcontent, understandably. They went to that urban worker and they appealed to him. He ended up being one of the key foot soldiers for them. But the Soviet Union then thought to themselves, well, that's how you do communism. You go to the urban worker. They tried this with China when Mao was doing it. They said, hey, where are your urban workers? And Mao said, what are you talking about? Our urban workers are fine. If you want to find malcontents here, it's the rural worker, the rural poor. That's where we need to go. So that was a division they had. In America, they couldn't find rural or urban workers who were unhappy. It was just something that
that wasn't here. And I'm not saying the American worker has always been treated well. That's not at all what I'm saying. Obviously, that there are bad employers and bad times. But on a macro level, overall, there weren't masses of unhappy American workers. I know when I speak to younger people, this is going to sound insane, what I'm about to say. But I'm about to tell you something that is real. For generations, you could, with a high school diploma, as a man, find yourself in a career that would provide for your wife, your children. You could own a home on that income, three meals a day, with a high school diploma. That was very, very, very common. My dad did it. My dad, he has a college degree, but he was just working construction after college, and he bought a home. He and my mom, they lived in some crappy apartment over a garage, and then eventually he bought a home. Now, granted, he's my dad, so he built the freaking thing, but again, this is how it was done in the day. Back in the day, it was done that way. It wasn't always this way. So again, the American worker has been blessed for so much, for so long, I should say. So the Soviets could not find anything there, but they didn't let up. They kept probing and making adjustments and probing. They would try to get in with this newspaper. They would try to get in with this teachers union. And really where they found their footing was two places. They'll be completely unsurprising to you. First, it was the teachers unions. Then it was the journalists. The teachers unions, will set that aside for just a brief moment. The journalists, though, there's something about that profession. It's like actors and actresses. I don't know what it is. There's something about the profession of journalism that has a left-leaning tilt to it. And I don't understand that at all. I have a theory on it. My theory is this. Communism or any version of leftism, progressivism, wherever we are on the left-wing scale, it's always sold as challenging the powerful. That's how it's sold, even though they are the powerful now in America. But it's always been sold as, we got to take down the bourgeoisie, take down the rulers, take down the rich guys. It's always sold as taking down the powerful. So if you go into the field of journalism, maybe that's how you see yourself. Of course, in this country, it is completely flipped. Now they speak exclusively on behalf of the powerful. They speak down to you. That's why you got things like this when Joe Biden was in the throes of dementia.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
She knows so long as she was denied.
In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
President Biden has a photographic memory.
I should note, I need to point out, this is Tom Elliott put together this montage. It's fantastic.
His understanding and mastery of a complicated geopolitical situation is remarkable.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
I was sitting, you know, 2 feet from him across the table, and he was, you know, intense.
So the media, it transformed. But the communists infiltrated the media, which was already left-leaning. And in the early days, you just kind of get that wannabe journalist, that major in the journalist program. The Soviets did this. This is all written down. And you get them to, hey, why don't you come to a meeting this Friday? We're going to have a meeting about something. So eventually you get people in that way. But more importantly, for the purposes of our discussion tonight, they went into the teachers' unions. Unions in general are a communist thing. Remember, they're part of one of the 10 pillars of communism discusses unions, the importance of unions. I don't hate unions the way a lot of people on the right do, because a lot of union guys are people I know and have known. They're just kind of blue collar construction dudes, and I've always gotten along with those guys. But the union itself is almost always putrid, and it almost always sells out the actual worker. Anyway, but the teachers' unions themselves, they were obviously a place where the communists felt That's my window into America. That's my foot in the door into America. And if I can get my foot in that door, if I can somehow worm my way in to the teachers' unions, then eventually, on a long enough timeline, eventually I will bring about the collapse of the entire United States of America simply by taking over the teachers' unions. It's not like they stumbled into this. This isn't just something you hear on right-wing radio. This is all documented history. It's what they did, and they did it on purpose. They knew if they could somehow control who disseminates the information, that would be the media, what information gets disseminated and which does not, if they could control that, and more importantly, if they could control children, generations of children, then in the end, they would be able to destroy the entire country from within without firing a shot. And I'll try to put a bow on that next.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. If you miss any part of the show, download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, covering how we got here as a nation, as a people. And I brought up teachers' unions and how they wormed their way into that and how long they've been using that influence. And I've got to tell you something. We underestimate how long they've been doing it. When you talk about the Marxist teacher, the American Marxist teacher, you think that this is, the last 10 years, the last 20 years. No, in the last 10, 20 years, it's gotten more overt than it's ever been. Teachers are more comfortable now standing up in front of the class and just wiping their butts with the American flag. But it's been going on for ages and ages. You ever see that movie Dazed and Confused? It's an older movie, and it's a movie based on, you know, the 70s. And this is a movie scene, but this is a scene that played out. I remember it from my elementary school days, hearing things like this from my teachers, and it just didn't ever register. Remember this little scene? Although it's a 15-second scene from a movie based in the 70s, and the teacher's signing them off, sending them off for the summer, and they're getting ready to go celebrate the 4th of July, and this is how she sends them off. This is high school.
Hey, guys, one more thing. Hey, this summer, when you're being inundated with all this American bicentennial 4th of July brouhaha, don't forget what you're celebrating, and that's the fact that a bunch of slave-owning, aristocratic white males didn't want to pay their taxes.
The American Teachers Unions were infiltrated by America-hating communists for the longest time. And eventually, they got to program enough students through the education system. And now our education system is full of committed communists who spit that filth into the minds of kids every single day. The emails I get from parents across this country about the things their kids are learning in school, it breaks my heart. And every time I get an email, obviously I'm worried about the parent's child who sent in the email, but on some level, I assume that child will be okay because that child has good parents who are going to teach them. What percentage of Americans are just norms, are just normas, and they're not even asking their kids questions about how much anti-white racism they learned in social studies that day? And so that was a huge part of why we are where we are as a country, for the external portion, for the internal portion of it. After World War II, that's considered the baby boomer generation. Why is that? Why that phrase, the baby boomer, baby boomers? Who were baby boomers? Well, World War II, I wasn't alive then. I only know what I read, and I know talking to older folks who lived through there, It sounds apocalyptic, and if you were alive at the time, it really was apocalyptic. Remember, we look back on it now as our greatest triumph of a nation, but you didn't know whether you were going to win. Maybe the Nazis were going to win. You didn't know, right? You didn't know. And so much death, so much death of American men. Over 400,000 American men died in World War II. We can't even process. If you haven't been alive that long, I can't even process what that kind of loss is like. And that's at a time when the population of the country was much, much, much lower than it was now. When we look at more recent tragedies, you would think of the Vietnam War, which was, of course, terrible. What's that number? Well, it's huge. It's way too big. It's 57,000, somewhere in the 50s, 57,000 dead. And I'm not being dismissive of that, but World War II was 10 times that bad? You ever seen the Vietnam Memorial in D.C.? I've seen it a couple times. Always, always guts me. There's almost always a Vietnam vet there laying flowers for his brothers or crying. It just freaking guts me. That long wall, all those names. Takes forever to find someone if you're looking for someone specific. That's a tenth of what we lost in World War II. A tenth. So you come back, the country, as we came out of World War II, the country started making babies, started focusing on family in a great way. Say, let's get married, let's make babies. It was almost that collective, sigh of relief after something so terrible with so much death and so much sadness out there. And you had so many babies, but there was a problem. Oftentimes when you are recovering from something terrible or tragic, you will have huge gaps in your life because you're coming back from something terrible or tragic. Most of the men of that generation were understandably broken in a lot of ways because they were combat veterans who'd been knee-deep in the muck, in the mud. And so there was rampant alcoholism, suicide, child abuse. Dad was gone. Or on the other end of the spectrum, and I've heard a lot of this from children of World War II veterans, Dad, he wouldn't even discipline them. He'd seen so much awful misery in his life, couldn't even bring himself to shout at his children. And so you have very opposite ends of the parenting spectrum from that era too, where you had parents, Dad's going to come home blind drunk because he spent time in Okinawa and beat you with a belt, or you could steal a car and Dad won't even so much as ground you for the weekend. So you have those opposite ends. Combine that. So that's a generation. Again, this is not universal. Nothing's universal. We're talking about macro trends here. You talk about that. And then we move on to things like the 60s, when America, for whatever reason this is, and there are a lot of people have tried to explain this, and I don't want to act like I know. Maybe it was the drugs. Maybe it was, I don't know. But America walked away from God. The church attendance began to plummet. And maybe you don't care. Maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you don't go to church, and that's fine. But you have to understand this. You have to understand this. A central belief system that most people in your society share, a core set of values, is a huge part of how you stay together as a country. If you lose that, it's very difficult. In fact, it's probably impossible to maintain any kind of a culture. And so from there, well, I'm up against the clock here. We'll go into a little bit more of this. I'll try to wrap this up in a moment. We'll go back to the DNC, play a bunch of stuff there. I'm gonna do this one, though. I want to do this email. Jesse, I'm 14, and my dad is clearly getting old. That's not nice. Because he has literally no energy in the afternoon, no matter how many energy drinks he gets. I've told him it could be because of low testosterone. There's estrogen in the water. He simply said it was just a conspiracy. What should I try to do? Well, you're 14, so you don't need to do anything. But if you can, get your dad some sunshine. The energy drinks, I've consumed more of those in my life than I can possibly count. I don't do that anymore. It's terrible for you. But it's a vicious cycle. You don't have any energy, so you drink one of those, and then you need another one in a few hours. You need one the next day because you didn't sleep the night before because you had an energy drink. But you're right. Gentlemen, if you're 50, you're 60, and you're out of gas all the time, your testosterone levels are low. You need sunshine. You need exercise. You need a male vitality stack from chalk in your veins. Natural herbal supplements. Took mine again this morning. I'm never lacking energy anymore. Go get a subscription. You have questions? Fine. They have answers. 50CHOQ3000. That's 50CHOQ3000. Be proactive, gentlemen. Take care of yourself. We'll be back.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.